My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you. Worship you for the mighty things you do. I worship you, 'cause in spite of all my misery and all the things I cannot see, I know I can call out. My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for. Praise your name, 'cause the victory is mine. I praise your name, 'cause the light in me can finally shine. Your blessings will be always mine. That's why I live, Lord. For always and forever, my purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you.
Hello, and I am so excited. This is Josie of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World. And I'm on the phone right now with Reverend Lydia of Reverend Lydia Speaks. And it's an exciting time for Finding My Way, for Josie's Inspiration, and for the launch of Reverend Lydia's new network, Reverend Lydia Speaks. And so I just wanted to take this call that I'm doing for September to really share my excitement and to congratulate Reverend Lydia and just to hear from her and to hear how God is moving in her life. So, Reverend Lydia, welcome. I'm excited that you are branching, and, you know, it's a bittersweet because, you know, this has been a journey that we have been on together, and I know as you're launching, there are great things that God is going to open up, And we certainly are going to be celebrating you from Josie's Inspiration and for Finding My Way. So tell me, how are you feeling? And tell me what that experience was like when you got that call.
Well, thank you so much for calling me and asking me, because it's still surreal. And I'm very grateful to Kayla and to you and to sponsors and anybody who thought that I was ready for this. But that call came at a time, I was just enjoying my day, getting my nails done, you know, my girl things on my day off. And when Kayla called and you were on the phone, I think you've known me, oh, Lord, 50 years or more, and you have never known me without a word to say. I was so shocked. And, you know, we always say, go to God first, pray about it first. My mind said, oh, my God, I can't do this. I can't do what Josie does. I don't know what I'm doing. I know how to preach. I know how to record. I don't know what I'm doing. Yes, I do. Something inside me does. I don't have to know all of this in a space of 5 seconds while Kayla was talking to me and welcoming me. And it is still surreal. I'm very humbled by it and proud, if that's, you know, two things that can be together. Mm-hmm. But I am very humbled to think that I'm in the plan some kind of way that God has purpose for me. And I think I know that this is my purpose. But I wasn't
Absolutely.
Sure if God that was my purpose. But apparently he is, because right after that call, the floodgates opened. And I don't know what happened, but now people want to hear what I have to say.
Well, you know, one of the beauties of how God moves, and I know that you know this, is that he places things before us. And in our humanness, we think, I can't. I don't know how to do that. But he never gives us something that he's not prepared us for. And, you know, if the things that he has given us to do were so easy, he would be running around doing them. But right now, he's calling on individuals and collectives to come together for a new season. And that's the thing that I'm taking away from this, is that, you know, we have come out of COVID. We have come out of so many things, and people are saying, oh, I want to get back to normal. Well, it's a new season, and it's not about normalcy. It's about stepping out on faith, and that's what you did. You know, it's like when God calls, all we can really do is step out on faith and believe, knowing that he has always prepared us and given us the tools before. And if we look back, we've never faltered or fallen when he's given us a challenge.
That's true. I've spent most of my life stepping out on faith, not being sure of myself per se, but I knew that if God gave me something to do, he would give me the wherewithal to do it, just like he did anything else. And I'm confident in God. I'm confident in my confidence in God. Okay. So
yes.
I do believe that, and things started coming together. The first two people that I called said yes without even hearing what I needed them to do. And the last person called me because I had tried to get in touch with her, but she was out having a good time and vacationing, and it's, I didn't even say what I wanted. She just saw my number, and I said, I need to talk to you about something. And she said, okay, yes, call me. Whatever it is, yes. So I guess maybe I have some credibility around here.
I would say you have a lot because, you know, as I have watched you over the years, you know, you have stepped into your faith, walked in your faith, and carried it as a crown because, you know, you don't shy away from things. And so, you know, as I was looking just now, I had jotted down, you know, I was going to jot down what I thought our conversation was going to be, but all I wrote down was Reverend Lydia Speak. And so that in itself is your calling card. You speak because God has given you the words to speak. You know, it's like I remember growing up, my mother would always tell me, I have the gift of gab. And I thought it was a bad thing because I was always getting in trouble for talking out of what people would say out of turn, or talking
right.
when I should have been listening. But once we embrace that God has given us a voice and we are willing to speak, you know, now Reverend Lydia Speaks has taken on a whole new journey. You know, I remember when we were launching Joseph's Inspiration, and I reached out to you, and you said yes. And, you know, we talked about Reverend Lydia Speaks. And then over this past, 2.5, almost 3 years, I have listened to you speak from a place that, you know, that God resides within you. And so I know that as you launch Reverend Lydia Speaks as a network and platform on a new realm, you're prepared already because you have been Reverend Lydia speaking into existence things that are now coming forth.
Really have. I told somebody that prayer Jabez is a very dangerous prayer.
I remember
saying at a time, tired, it was cold, it was rainy, it was just like, I'm tired, just whatever. And I said that prayer of Jabez, and about 6 hours later you called and wanted me to be on your network, and I just took that as a sign for, you know, platform to help with the kingdom, and it was magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said prayer again, and I don't know what it is about you and 4 and 5 and 6, because about 5 hours later, you called with Kayla on the phone. I'm a little afraid of the next. First it was you, then it was you and Kayla. I don't know where else we can go.
Well, you know, there's a calling on our lives. And, you know, and I am grateful that we have owned it in a way that God is able to use us. And I know in my heart that this season is so important, and the work that's to be done is so important. You know, all the things that we see going on around us in the world, the tragedies, the earthquakes, the floods, the fires, you know, I can't help but think, you know, the things that we were told as children, but, you know, we may not know the day or time of his return, but we know that every day is a closer day. It's a closer day to that time. And for the vision that Kayla had for finding my way to be a vehicle for people to spread the word, to spread the message that he's coming soon, and we need to find our way to him. We need to find our way to be present when he returns. And, you know, that's where I see this expansion and this growth, is that, you know, each of us has a purpose to take it and to run with it. And so, you know, just as Kayla was sharing with you, you know, the way I run is not the way you're going to run, not the way that God is calling you to run. You know, so our doubts generally come from our expectation of being like someone else. And God didn't call us to be like anybody else. He called us to be who he wants us to be. So, you know, you have everything within you, and it's time for it to shine in a whole new realm of light.
Oh, this is a definite upward spiral of my vortex of energy. It really is. Because I always say the vortex of energy that I talk about all the time is like that carousel that we had in the playground as children. I know
mm-hmm.
I'm dating myself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. But I was always seriously little, so I would get in the very middle and lock my arms around the two poles.
Uh-huh.
That way it would get thrown off. So I'm going to lock my spirit and align my mind to the mind of the divine so that I won't get thrown off the vortex, because I just feel like this journey is, I say it's going to be easier because I'm in the middle of this journey. I am not just starting it. It's just
mm-hmm.
a level up of a platform, but I'm not just starting it. I've been an ordained minister for almost 20 years now. So talking and spreading the word and doing for the kingdom is nothing new. But I want to make sure that if any bump in that merry-go-round, if it hits a bump some kind of way, I won't get thrown off.
Mm.
So I'm locked.
Lock your mind.
Yeah, I'm locking my mind to the mind of the divine, and that's how I'm going to fly.
I like that. Lock your mind to the mind of the divine. And what a beautiful lock, you know. There's no more stable lock that we could have today, because we can't lock ourselves onto other people. We can't lock ourselves into ideologies, because everything is so fleeting and it's so fast. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And, you know, the one thing. Go ahead.
You have to be careful what you align yourself to.
Yeah. And once you know where, you have to stay centered there, because it's, you know, as you said, it's easy. It's easy on one hand, but it's challenging on the other. And so the challenge for me is just everyday reality. You know, you just have to do a self check, a mindset reset every day with all the information that's thrown at us. So how do you reset yourself in the midst of everything?
I meditate a lot. But there's a prayer that I have. I have my own rituals to get myself going in the morning, and my first 45 minutes belongs to God. And then I exercise and whatever. So, yeah, I have to get up pretty early in the morning, but I've been meditating for so many years now that it's almost like somebody nudges me. It's the time to go. Come on, let's get up. And I'm not sleepy when I get up. At first, I was like, can that be life? You know, but I got up and I started meditating. And I've been meditating for so long, but there's a prayer that I say. It's just my prayer. And all I want to do is give thanks. And what I'd say is I give thanks for this time alone to be in the bosom of the divine, where I can be taught, where I can see with the eye behind the eye and hear with the ear behind the ear and speak from my lips the words of God that I have stored in my heart, confident that I am rooted and grounded, that through this day my feet go where God leads me and my hands do the work before me with honor and integrity and in awe that I am part of his plan. And that, I have been saying that for so many years. My grandchildren know that one. I start every day. I've got to be sick, and on medication that where my body doesn't wake up and do that. I don't care where I am. I don't care what I do. That first 45 minutes, because it takes me that long to do my prayers and my meditation, my little Bible readings that I have. And then I have things I like to send to my friends and family to start that day.
I'm a recipient.
Forgive me.
I wake up in the morning looking for that text, like, what's Lydia going to share today?
But that's how I start my day.
There's something so beautiful about that morning start. I mean, I remember when I left my full-time employment, and I thought to myself, I can sleep as late as I want to sleep, and nothing's going to wake me up. And immediately, now, mind you, I was always late for my job. Once I was free of the job, I started waking up at exactly 6:17. And it took me a minute, because at first I was angry. It's like, why am I waking up now? I don't have anywhere to go. Why do I have to wake up, you know, with the sun in the morning, you know? And then I kept paying attention to that time. 6:17 is my birth date. And so what made sense to me finally was that was my time with God. And so that's my time with him, 6:17 in the morning. My eyes pop open like somebody pulled some toothpicks and put them up. And it doesn't matter what's going on. I wake up, and in that stillness of that time, that's my time with him. That's my time to communicate with him specifically, you know, and I appreciate that, because, yes, there are other times where, you know, I'm communicating with him, I'm praising him, you know, I'm appealing to him. But that time is the time for me to hear him, just to be still and listen and hear him. And now it's like, okay, it's time, Lord, here I am, you know. But it took me that minute. It was like, why am I waking up at 6:17 in the morning when I have nowhere to go? Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go to him in stillness and in quiet.
Yeah, 3:30 every morning. That's my thing.
But I've
done 3:30. 3:30 every morning for the last 25 years. Yeah, 25 years. Because he was waking me up, and I would go into my little room that I had set up for prayer and meditation, and I'd sit there, and I didn't hear anything. But I knew I had to hear something, and I knew I wasn't crazy, but it was every morning. Nobody else in the house was up. And that was before I became a minister. And when God said to me, you know, go into the ministry, I literally had an argument with him. I said, you know, I might not be your worst guy, but I don't think I'm anybody's minister. You got the wrong person. And I went back and I said, that was just something that popped up because I'm tired. And this happened. It happened twice, and then it didn't happen anymore for about, I'd say about 3 or 4 months. And then I went to this class, this metaphysical Bible interpretation study class. And the next thing I know, it was 5 years later, and I had been through all of my schooling and everything, and I had been through the seminary part, and I was a minister. And I looked back at that, and I said, I listened. And when I didn't listen, he put things in my way that would pique my interest. And then he came back and said it again. All right, okay, let's do this. Come on, we got this. But I ran.
Of course. And I think that one of my books upstairs from seminary is called God's Yes Was Louder Than My No. I go to that a lot because no matter what it is that I'm pushing back against, if it's something he's called me to do, I can't say no. I can't push away from it, you know, because it's going to keep revealing itself in different ways, you know. So when he has something, and the other thing that I know is that his work is going to be done with or without us. And sometimes when I have pushed back from something, I'll see it pop up somewhere else. And I was like, you gave that to me. He said, and what'd you do with it?
One man's junk is another man's
Yeah, you know, his work is going to be done with or without us. And, you know, preferably if he gives us some work to do, we're obedient enough to do it.
But I can't think
like
of anything I can't think of anything that I enjoy more than sitting down and preparing my messages and speaking in front of a crowd. And it's not the ego of the crowd because I will feed off of people, but no, it's something more than that because when I get an invitation to speak somewhere, you would think it were my first time about to speak. And like I said, it's been 20 years. And I will get this, am I good enough? Lord, what am I going to say to these people? When I open my mouth, would you please speak for me so I don't look crazy? And he has done this. If you decide to change what I have sat down and prepared, please do so in complete sentences so I don't look really stupid standing up here. I have had my entire sermon. I walk to the pulpit and go blank, and my entire sermon completely changes, and it's what someone really needed to hear. And I've had people come up to me afterwards and said, I really appreciated that. You were talking just to me. And I didn't want to say, lady, that wasn't anything that I was going to ready to say. It just happened.
Well, you know, the beauty is that, you know, it's about being obedient, too. But when we show up for him, he gives us. He gives us what we need for the task. And as we move now into the launch of Reverend Lydia Speaks, you know, you're up for the task because you show up. You show up. And that's why when Kayla and I were having the conversation a while back about, you know, launching new networks from Joseph's Inspiration, you know, you were one of the first people that came to my mind because you have always served in excellence. You have always shown up in excellence. You have never hesitated. You've never been late. You know, I've never worried about Lydia doing what she says she's going to do. And, you know, and that's the God in you that, you know, you are present when you have been called on. And so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to, you know, what is coming. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I'm so excited. I would run. Thank you so much. because that's my whole thing, to serve in integrity.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you do. So, you know, you and I, we could talk for days and weeks on end. I just sat and talked with you for 3 hours while you were doing my hair. So,
I know.
You know, I just, I love how God has connected us together. I love how he continues to branch us in new directions. And I'm excited and looking forward to seeing the growth, seeing your wings just continue to spread. And for anyone who's listening to Joseph's Inspiration today, be sure to check out Rev Lydia Speaks on the Finding My Way Network. No longer just a subsidiary of Finding My Way and Joseph's Inspiration, but she has her own network through Finding My Way. And we're forever grateful and just honored to have had this experience to see this part of your life grow, you know, because, you know, you're growing anyway, but, you know, it's like a tree branching off and just
Aww.
Moving closer and closer to him. So, you know, run, Lydia, run.
Oh, I will. I will. Thank you so much for the push.
thank you for answering his call. You know, we're just vessels. That's
yes.
how I see myself. I'm a vessel, and I try to be obedient when he gives me a task. You know, I don't always do it right away. Sometimes I try to judge whether or not it's right time or right this, but when he gives it, you know, he makes it plain. This is what you've been
yes,
called
sir.
To do. And so you are definitely at that place now that God is about to do some amazing things. And we're going to be celebrating and clapping and applauding you all along the way. So thank you.
Thank you.
So this has been Joseph's Inspiration. And remember, check out Rev Lydia Speaks on the Finding My Way Network. It's going to start out airing monthly, but just watch out because before long, she's going to be a constant presence around the world, a constant presence around the world. To God be the glory. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
The one preaching it to you that you could overcome. I still believe it, but it ain't easy. Cause that world I painted where things just don't work out, it started changing and I started having doubts, and it got me so my God's not done.
something good.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me once again on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. This is part two of my four-part Believe What You Speak. In James 3:3-6, it says that it is possible to bridle your whole body by taking control of your tongue. It reads, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Now, that's something to think about. I used to ride, and in my training as an equestrian, you not only learn how to sit, but how to move to become one with this most magnificent creature, who for the most part only wants to please his rider. You learn that a slight movement in the placement of your knees can change the movement of the horse. Now, this bridle that James was talking about is a bit, and it's made out of metal, and it fits in the horse's mouth and right in the corners. There's this tender spot. So it doesn't take much to let him know which way to go. But if you tug too hard, not only does the horse let you know that he doesn't like it, depending on his temperament, it can be not so pleasant an experience for you either. So it's when we allow our tongues to lead us unbridled that the words that come out can hurt and start a fire, as James says, a fire that defileth the whole body. He states that every type of animal can and has been tamed for the use of mankind, yet the tongue no man can tame. This caused me to think just how easy it is to go down that rabbit hole and follow that path of gossip and even add to it. Now that is a fire that James spoke of, the fire that sets a whole forest ablaze. You see, you can start a spark by something you say, even if it's the truth. And that spark can cause a split in a family that will last for generations. It can destroy someone's home or professional life. He ends with the fact that the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. So to me, that says we should keep the bit in our mouth and let God take the reins. I know it's easier said than done, especially when the comments are so wrong and so vitriol. My grandmother had a saying, and she would say that if you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. But what she didn't say was what you were supposed to be thinking or doing while all that was going on. And once you've come to grips with the fact that you are always connected to your source, and the only thing that can separate you from your source is your stinking thinking. Yes, I mean that you are always connected to your source, but the depth of your connection depends on what you believe. In this world, we have challenges. And the first challenge actually comes from our life experiences. If you confuse yourself with your life experience, you lose the connection with your spark of holiness. And that's the part of you that says no matter what happens, you're okay. That part that tells you to be more, have more, give more. It creates a channel for more good to flow into your life. And when it does, believe you're worthy of that good. For a long time, I can remember thinking that if I were very happy or enjoyed something a lot, because it had been what was happening to me, it was only a matter of time before something went wrong. Now, that type of thinking is almost a form of survivor's guilt. And because I went through that, I can see it easily in others. So I can tell you how important it is to speak life over yourself, your family, your situation, and to do it until things change, especially your thought patterns. Because sometimes you have to knock more than one time before the door opens. And I'm speaking of the door of your heart and mind, what I call the 12-inch connection. Speak your desire until it becomes your manifestation. I'm not talking about bragging and begging God. Now, let me give you a hint here. God does not work on the theory of you wearing him down so he's just going to give you what you ask for. That's not how that works. I'm speaking of giving thanks as if you already have it. Done that a million times. Because I can remember being a single mom needing something for my son. And payday was a few days away. And on top of it all, there were bills due on that same payday. So even if I had someone to borrow it from, which I did not, how could I pay them back in a timely manner? Now, I did what I call a shotgun prayer. In sports, they call it a Hail Mary, where they just throw the ball up and hope that it lands wherever it's needed. And this prayer is the one that you say when so much is happening at once that you can't prioritize it in order of importance, because it's all extremely important. And it happened like this. I remembered that God said, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Now that means to put all of your trust in him and his promises for you, so I did. I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I know you will. And almost as soon as I said it, a peace came over me, and it was the strangest thing I ever felt. Now, not only did I get what I needed for my son, but the bills were paid, and to my surprise, there was some money left over. So my friends that I were talking about in the first part of this series, they were actually right when they said, I expect God to answer me. I not only expect it, I accept it. It may take more than one incident to convince you that God is for you no matter what, but I dare you to try it. But you have to have an open mind. I've had the experience of thinking I needed more than I had, and after checking into things or a phone call, I found out that not only was I up to date, but I'd overpaid. Now, that's a wonderful thing. God doesn't have to give you money directly in your hand to handle it. Just know that it will be handled. You cannot not believe or know. Now, you can ignore or diminish the fact, but you can't not know just by living. Your believing and your anticipation brings with it a field of energy. And this force attracts a like energy and brings all of that into manifestation. But you have to be authentic in your thoughts and beliefs for your good. Let the hows of the situation and the details, let all of that junk be on God. That's too much for you anyway. Stop whining about what you didn't get and live in the joyous thought that God is bringing you along so that when your good does appear, you're ready for it. That's called grace. And believe me, sometimes it can be grace and mercy. Now, are you speaking life yet? Have you identified an area of your life that you can infuse with a new thought? If not, I can go a little further and tell you that every thought is a choice, and every choice is either infused with love of God and self or it's not. And if I just told you all of the wonderful things that can happen when you infuse your speech with love and believe it, confidence and joy. Wonderful things can happen when you infuse like that. Well, what do you think happens in the absence of those things? When you think of yourself, what do you identify with? The things that people have told you you can't do? That's normal. I'm telling you to have a reverence about yourself and who you are in connection to your source. To actually be in love with yourself, to love yourself. Now, I'm not saying to be conceited. That's not what I'm saying at all. But know you are worthy. And if guilt or shame creeps in from something that you remember, then know that you are worthy of forgiveness. It's grace. Grace is that little cool breeze that blows at just the right moment on the end of a hot summer day. It blows away anything that keeps you from loving yourself unconditionally, just as God does. Grace is the capacity to see the good in someone or something for no other reason than you can. Understanding what is the higher truth about whatever the situation may be. Your conversation with God and your listening to your higher self can change everything in you, and that changes your manifestation. Now, my God and I have a visible track record. There has never been a time when I put myself totally in His hands that something wonderful didn't happen. It may not have come when I thought it was supposed to come, but God is always on time, and I trust Him totally. And that also means trusting Him with everything and everyone that I love the most. Now, that can actually be the hardest part sometimes, because you want good things to happen for someone now, but it may not be in God's plan for them now. When I say He loves you, that means everyone you love. God sees the big picture, and why shouldn't He? He created it. And when He gives each soul what it needs to accomplish its purpose to get to that big picture. Because that's how He gets His glory. Now, if you like a little acknowledgement, don't you think God deserves some? He created us for His happiness and gives us things for ours. It's only when we step away on our journey that we risk the snares and pitfalls of things that can happen wrong. And even then, He sets our feet back on solid ground. God is awesome. Despise not the small things. And this might not seem like such a small thing, but on the grand scheme of things, it is. I have a garden that I am in awe of. And it started out with a little 5x5 square and a few little tomatoes. And then it got bigger and it became a 10x10. And now it's even bigger. It's 20x10. No, it's 20x20, and it still has the 2 5x5s over in the corner. And all I did, in my estimation, was plant and water. But God put the intelligence inside of each seed so that it knew what to do. And when I first started, I have to tell you, it really looked hopeless. I just didn't know what I was doing. I knew, you know, I could grow some things in a bucket, but to actually have to till the ground and to do all of that hard stuff, it looked hopeless. The ground was hard, and I didn't know that some things cannot be planted near others. And I had to get the proper tools, which I didn't have. So I did all that clearing with a spade, a shovel, and a hoe. And that's all I did. So I had to learn what to do. To top it all off, the locals, and I'm talking about the deer and the rabbit and the squirrels and the possums, thought that I was planning a supermarket just for them. So I had to learn what to do to deter them without hurting them. It took a lot of time. But luckily, I had the time. Not so luckily, it was because we were in the middle of a pandemic. Even so, It took time to study. I had to acquaint myself with organic gardening and use the right formulations of essential oils so that it wouldn't poison the plants or me and my family. But for the time I invested, I received a lush crop of vegetables, stuff that I could freeze, I could can and share. And I have even shared some knowledge with others about how to start a garden of their own. Now, I got to be real with you. It was back-breaking work, and it still is. And more than a few times, I almost threw in my shovel and said, forget it. But now I have so much more respect for farmers who do this sort of thing for a living so that novices like me don't have to, other than for the enjoyment. But something wonderful happened. Each time a small sprig of something unrecognizable as what I thought that plant should look like peeked its head through the earth, I realized that it was a nature of God to produce, or should I say, reproduce. God did it, and he allowed me to watch. And more than that, he allowed me to believe and just know that his nature was for things to grow and thrive and be beautiful, and that this was the most enjoyment I had had in a long time. The day-to-day anticipation of what's it going to look like tomorrow? How much more will it have grown? And then, finally, it was ready to be harvested. So I picked and I ate and I shared. And man, what satisfaction. To put your hands into the lush black earth and cultivate and know that you're in the midst of helping creation. It makes you think of how God must have felt creating us, and how he feels when we finally get something right and get out of his way. But that's part three of believing what you speak. I'd like to leave you with this little recap. Whatsoever you give the most attention, whatever it is that you have accepted as the truth of you, whatever you repeat as your story, and however long you repeat it. And remember, as you repeat things, things start to grow. Just as I repeated sowing my garden and doing what I thought was best, and things started to grow. Whatever you repeat as your story is what you manifest. I really do hope that I have given you something to think about. I hope I have piqued some interest in you that will change your world from gray and uncertain to the truth of living your life like it's golden. Because that is what God wants for us. That is why he created us. We are the manifestations of God. Each one of us, individualized manifestations. And even though I love my garden, God loves us so much more than any piece of fruit, any bird, any insect. We are the only thing that he breathed life into in order to create. We were. Now, he created everything, but he put his breath, his ruha, into man, and his intelligence, and his love, and his acceptance of everything. When we step aside from that, that's the only way that we disconnect, and that's only temporary. Because as soon as we come back to who we are and knowing what we're supposed to be and who we are in God, we get all of that back. I would like for you to know that you can live your life like it's golden. That's the way God wanted it for you. That's your purpose. And all of the other stuff is just some weeds in the garden of your life. I'll be back with part three. And I hope you can join me. For now, this is Rev. Lydia, and I'd like to say, relax, release, and to recognize, or should I say, recognize, meaning your cognition in the fact that you know who you are in God, the fact that God loves you and everything about you, and you know this, and you know that you know that you know that you know. Until next time, be blessed.
Not scared to say, I used to be the one preaching it to you that you could overcome. I still believe it, but it ain't easy. Cause that world I painted, where things just don't work out, it started changing, and I started having doubts, and it got me so down. Something good.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.